I want him focused. I don't want any excuses. But at the same time, he's a grown arse man. If he's going to do what he's going to do, I'm going to destroy him either way. And I'm going to get my moment. It'll be for me. It'll be for my family. And it's going to be for CM Punk.
It's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling slash sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name is James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. Do you know this intro word for word, by the way, like I do? Thanks for tuning in to this episode 312 of the biggest and best WWE podcast in the UK, the only show of its kind to be supported, endorsed and promoted by WWE themselves. It is Friday. It's Friday, Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Friday, 15th of March. Where is the year going? I'll tell you where it's going. It's going to Philadelphia and WrestleMania, baby. As you might tell, I'm a bit overexcited about this. WrestleMania XL is going to be redonk. And I don't use the word redonk lightly. What a couple of nights it's going to be. What a whole week it's going to be in the city of brotherly love. So much going down. I mean, there's the NXT show. There's all the media events, the press conferences, sit-down interviews, and then the shows itself. There is so much good GP coverage coming to you in your ears, in your eyes, in your hearts and minds through GP socials and YouTube and this podcast. And I am excited. Yes, I am. I'm also excited about 2K24. Quick shout out to our headline sponsors. Yes, they're the headline sponsors of Gorilla Position. WWE 2K24, the brand new video game. It is incredible. If you've seen the video that we posted yesterday as I record this, me and Mex went down to 2K in London and had our first hands-on experience with the game. It really, and I'm not, you know, it's easy to big up sponsors when they pay you, but I'm genuinely, genuinely in love with this game. We had such a laugh playing it. It's really, really great. So many great brand new features and modes and match types and arenas. It's a really, really special game. I mean, on WWE TV, they're all, you know, they're hammering home the point that it's the best WWE video game of all time, but I really agree. So if you haven't got it already, go check it out. WWE 2K24 is out right now. The link to buy either the standard edition, the deluxe edition, or the 40 years of WrestleMania edition, they're all available now. So head to the link in this podcast description and just enjoy yourselves. Just enjoy yourselves. I cannot recommend it enough. It is out now to buy on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. Right, so welcome to another Friday edition. Quick intro from me just to say hello, really. Hello, you. And to say I'm very excited to play in this week's Superstar Special. And this one is a big exclusive. It was one of the big sit-downs that I did in our recent trip to the US. This was recorded in Palm Desert, I believe. I now get confused because we went to so many places. No. Bakersfield. You're absolutely right. It was Bakersfield. Bakersfield, California. We were backstage at a live event on the Sunday night, last Sunday, I think. And we sat down with the one and only DM Hunk, Drew McIntyre. The next world heavyweight champion. Is he going to beat Seth at WrestleMania on the grand stage? I think it's quite likely. And I think it's quite deserved, frankly, because many people are saying he is the best heel in the business right now. The Rock doing incredible stuff, but we all still love The Rock. You shut your mouth right now, boy. But Drew McIntyre is doing such good work interweaving storylines with Seth Rollins and, of course, CM Punk, who's on the shelf. But when Punk comes back, that is going to be explosive. So massive shout out to Drew McIntyre. He's doing the best work of his career right now. And what a brilliant time for me to sit down with him. And I really love doing these one-on-one interviews, these proper sit-downs, because I think these talents, they travel around the country. Well, they travel around the world. They have such little quality time off. So to just get them in a moment backstage where we can sit down for half an hour and they can be a bit reflective about their career and where they started and where they're going and the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations, it's always a fascinating time. I really, you know, the sit-down interview with talents has been a big thing for GP over the years and has been a bit of a sort of staple of what we offer from the show. And I love showing you guys the real personalities behind the on-screen personas, and I think that's what we get from Drew. He's really honest, he's really frank. He talks about, you know, the writers backstage, the creative freedom he's been given currently, how things have changed creatively with new creative leadership, and you know, he slips into character as well. There's a bit of Drew McIntyre that you see on TV. He doesn't take us all the way behind the curtain, but he is very honest. We go way back. I've met him lots of times. So, you know, it's a nice, open, frank conversation. And he doesn't hold back when it comes to people like Seth Rollins and one CM Punk. So I really hope you enjoy this interview. And there'll be many more exclusive interviews coming up across the next few months here on GP. We've got lots of great plans. And they all start in Philadelphia around WrestleMania week. So very excited about everything that's coming up, and you should be too. You should also be following us on social media at WWGP on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/@WWEGP. And if you want to send us an email, do so at hello@wwgp.co.uk. We love hearing from you. And we love to open up the mailbag on the Wednesday weekly shows, where me and the boys can really deep dive into lots of different topics. So the more opinions and takes that we get from you fans, the more interesting it becomes. So do get involved. hello@wwgp.co.uk. Get in touch. Right, let's play in my exclusive with Drew McIntyre. Hope you enjoy this one. Let us know what you think. Feedback always welcome. And we'll see you on Wednesday, I guess, when me and the boys will be back. Ash Rose, who very much is doing a Goldberg-type schedule right now on GP. I think he was here for the first episode back, and I haven't seen him since. So it'll be good to have Ash back on the show, and the man they call Skillet will be joining me. That's this Wednesday, so make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts, and we can catch up on all things WWE together this coming Wednesday. Right, this has been a Starstruck Media production. Enjoy Drew McIntyre. We'll see you Wednesday. I'm a champion! DM Hunk.
In the flesh.
In the flesh. Drew McIntyre, welcome to Gorilla Position.
Good to be back. Is this the first time in person? We've done so many, I cannot remember.
We've done a few. Yeah, I mean, a few virtuals during the old Panny D. We've done in person, but always like the quick junket style, red carpet, five minutes.
Well, this is the first.
It's nice to do this.
Official, one-on-one, live.
Yeah, boy.
From the locker room of Bakersfield, California.
Yep. Random as all hell. Congrats on everything that's going on at the moment. Congrats on your chamber victory. You've now got a date with Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good mentally where we're going.
Yeah.
I feel like everything is on track exactly how I envisioned it. Physically, I still feel terrible from the chamber. I took most of the big falls, it seemed, even though I guess Randy's maybe bigger than me these days and Lashley's jacked, but basically the biggest guy somehow ended up taking all the worst falls. Logan diving on my face and getting my eardrum perforated. So I'm kind of staring at your lips, watching you, like what you're saying, because I found out about a year and a half ago from an ear specialist, because I have bad hearing in general,
right,
that I taught myself to lip read, which I had no idea. We did a little test.
Wow.
Where he was talking. Had me put my fingers in my ears where I could still hear him, was telling him what he was saying, and he slowly slipped up a piece of paper in front of his face. And I was like, I can't hear what you're saying. You've lowered your voice. My wife was like, he hasn't. He's doing the exact same volume.
Oh, wow.
He went, yeah, you're a smart guy. You've just taught yourself to lip read because you're hearing so bad. I went, oh, fantastic.
Oh, God.
Then I got perforated. So I won't say who it was because I don't want them to feel bad.
Yeah.
But it's very annoying because I can't hear Jack.
And then you you just had the short trip back from Perth.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's so, always good. So that, yeah. Plus, the good thing about having a hole in your ear is it can't get, you know, any more perforated.
Yeah, because yeah,
the
yeah.
hole's already there, so. Equalizes the pressure.
Mm. Talking about Seth, any frustrations that he's also embroiled in this Cody, Roman, Rock situation? Do you think that in any way takes away from the world title match you're going to have with him? And presumably you'll be on night two, right? If he's busy with a tag match on night one? Do you know any of this?
I assume so. I don't know. But yeah, I've made my feelings pretty clear on the show last week that his focus should be on the world championship. His focus should be on Raw. He shouldn't be, one, spreading himself. I am so thin, but at the same time, it seems it's coming from a selfish place to me. You know, he was trying to convince Cody to have the match with him instead of finishing the story, which Cody had promised everyone he was going to do. And the fans were clearly saying, we don't want this. We want Cody to do what he said he was going to do, is finish the story. And I had to physically nudge Cody in the right direction to make the right decision.
Yep.
And at the same time, he lied to The Rock. And he's wondering why Rock's being like this. It's like, he said, you can have this match. Then he, Indian Giver, took it away. Mm-hmm. So Cody's a liar. But that's not my business. Go over to SmackDown, handle it over there. And Seth should be focused on, okay, the world title, get myself healthy, have the best match possible with Drew McIntyre. It's all about Raw, but he can't help himself. And it goes back to the Shield days. Has to latch on to whatever's cool, get that extra spotlight, be it Cody's return, be it the Edge stuff, be it Punk's return, or be it The Rock's return. Always has to stick his nose into the spotlight, wants that little bit more, doesn't think about what's best for the roster, thinks about what's best for him. And that's what annoys me. And I said it last week, when I'm champion in Raw, it's going to be all about Raw, all about my roster on Raw. And I don't care if SmackDown is on fire and they're on their knees begging for help. I will not pee on them to put that fire out, because that's a them problem. And I'm focused on Raw responsibilities, as he should be.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more, Drew. Couldn't agree more.
People say I'm a bad guy as well. So the number of times I was told today, I love your heel work, just walking around Bakersfield. I was like, I'm not a heel. tell me one example I've done that made me a bad guy.
All you're doing is speaking the truth.
I was like, give me 2 minutes and I'll change your mind. And every single time, it didn't even take 2 minutes. So we're like, oh, you're right. Like, yeah. Just take a second. Maybe you've not watched every week, I guess. You know, watch the show, follow the product, and you'll know that I'm the good guy in this situation.
But the key thing is, they came up to you and they said, we're loving your work.
They did. They put it over. I just got offended being called a heel. I'm the only guy that's been like a consistent good guy since like 2019. I've never changed. Like, you know, I'm willing to go a little bit further now. You know, I learned my lessons in the first couple of matches with Seth specifically when I didn't strike, when I should have. I hesitated. I had, you know, those emotions that I should have had maybe after the match rather than in the match, with sympathy and compassion, and not having that killer instinct that I had prior. And now everything's came together with what I am and who I am now with that killer instinct. And chaos can be going around me, like Cody with the Bloodline stuff, where, you know, there's Solo right there, the same person that screwed me at Clash of the Castle. Obviously, I want to get him, but different mind frame now, bigger picture, focused on the Raw roster, the world title, what's best for it. Of course, I want to drop him, but there's Cody Rhodes right there. This win would mean so much for Drew McIntyre to get me forward, to get me that title, to save, you know, Raw and the world title itself. So I've got to keep my head on in the chaos. Elimination Chamber, people are like, ooh, this happened in the match. How's that my problem? I can't help people have issues with people. I've got to keep a cool head in the chaos and prevail, build that momentum, all because of the bigger picture. And that's who I am these days, is bigger picture, killer instinct.
Bigger picture, Drew. I like that.
Big Drew.
But you are doing incredible work at the moment. On the mic. Well, I mean, it's true. On the mic, backstage, even on social media, as we...
Especially on social media.
We'll talk especially on social media. I feel like all the pieces of the puzzle are falling into place on the grand stage for you. Surely you feel that. Is there a bit of an excitement in the air?
It's a huge excitement for me personally. Obviously, I've loved what I've done since I've returned to WWE, returned to Raw. When I was champion, the work I did during the pandemic and how important it is to me personally and how necessary it was for the times, not just in the ring, but all the virtual work and media work, etc. I was doing, and that was the real me. That was the real Drew as well. I was feeling what I was going through, what everyone was going through. Those emotions were very real, but it got to a point where I knew we have to evolve. Like, this just doesn't feel like the right fit anymore. I can't just stay in the same spot. And I'm coming out to the ring and people are like, oh, there's Drew. We love Drew. Hi, Drew. There we go. But it's just, it's this.
Yeah.
It's just the same old Drew, same hat, sword and smiling and whatnot. And I was like, all right, we got to evolve. We got to add some layers. We got to change things up. And I kind of went through that process of, okay, I'm old hat. I can be slotted in wherever to help a talent, you know, elevate, like Gunther, the likes, but it's not working for me, brother. Like, I didn't come here to make up the numbers. I came here to be top of the card, make a true difference to the overall show. And I didn't feel that we were doing it. And then these past few months, I really got given that opportunity to, like, be you, show the real you, show what's going on inside, tell whatever story, you know, you're feeling you can tell, and things that are a little different. You can go into the past. You can use whatever you want to help paint your picture. And they gave me that blank canvas, and I've been able to do with it what I want, obviously in collaboration with the writers. And like, our creative team are so phenomenal, the way they set up the week to weeks. I can't think of that stuff. That's what's great about it. They think of the bigger picture and where we get into. And each week I can paint my canvas to tell that story, to get to the final destination. It reminds me of my independent run, where I finally was given full creative, because it was basically, you're going to make money and be able to pay for your house and stuff that your wife and you just bought the very first apartment. Actually, we got together and you just got fired and you have nothing and it has to work.
Yeah.
And I learned, you know, how to, you know, draw money, how to be on top, how to find myself, I guess. And it was all basically my stuff the entire time. And now what you're seeing now is a collaboration, but it's very much my words, 100%. And you can feel that, and you feel it's real. You can feel I believe it, because it is real.
That's so good to hear. So you're really being given the freedom and the long-term storytelling. If we think about Clash of the Castle to where we are now, even little things like your beef with Jey Uso, as you say, you're always telling the truth, but we're using elements of the story to get to where we are now, and Drew is on fire. So you must... Yeah, I mean, for me, it's so refreshing to hear that you are being given a blank canvas, as you say. Because it wasn't like that in the past, right?
No, I mean, to a certain extent, but also there were certain, you know, restrictions. It was a way that had been done for a while, and obviously a way that was very successful. But there is another way, and there's, you know, more than one way. I don't want to say skin a cat, because I love cats, I have four. But you know what I mean? There's more than one way to do it. And now it's very much, let's just throw things against the wall. Let's see what works. Let's try things outside the box. And if you're a trusted talent, or even if you're not trusted, you might get given an opportunity. And if you prove to them, hey, we can be trusted, you know, with the microphone, to stay within the confines of the story and elevate your character, you're going to get that opportunity. And the more you kill it, the more freedom you're going to get. And that's the way it should be. And it's the way it was back in the day. And it got lost along the line. And now it's back again. And if you truly know what you're doing and you truly know who you are from a character perspective, like, the sky is the absolute limit.
Absolutely.
Also, when you said Jey Uso, a lot of people saying to me, like, oh, why do you say what you said to Jey last week? That makes you a bad guy. Do we remember why I have my issues with Jey?
Yeah, he screwed you.
His family. And obviously made my life hell. Led to Clash at the Castle. The week before Clash, I took out himself, his brother, to make sure the bloodline can't interfere. It's just me and Roman one-on-one. All these years of sacrifice, being away from my family in America, chasing the dream, missing weddings, birthdays, a couple of funerals. You know, every sacrifice not I made, that they have made. This was the night I was going to win it, present the title to my family. We did it. They all just sent solo. Just because you've been guilty of 1,000 crimes, you're not there on the night. You're still guilty. That all aside, what's the one thing I've been asking for a very long time now from Jey? One simple thing, one simple word even, because he's very, like, he's not, you know, the most articulate man in the world. He's very good with the one word. Like, you'd think after all this time, even someone thick-skulled as him, we go, you know, maybe I should have said sorry at some point. Not one time's he apologized. So, of course, I'm going to be a dick to somebody that's a dick to me.
So, be real with me. Clash of the Castle, was that a real disappointment?
Yeah.
The result of that?
Yeah, horrifically. I was very, very upset. I was frustrated. I understand the bigger picture with Roman and, you know, where the company's going, where he's going, how necessary it is. I personally believed there was maybe another way to figure out how we can protect what's going on with him, but also elevate McIntyre to where we need him to be for the company. And we didn't do it that night. And I thought we could have, maybe should have, and now where I'm sitting, like Hunter always talks about the bigger picture, the long game, if I'd won that night, the story wouldn't be the same, obviously, as it is right now. And it's interesting, if you know, as frustrated as you might be at the time, if you take the time and you go through the emotions and you have those emotions stored in mind when you get presented with an opportunity of, we can tell this really interesting story now. And that is such an important part of it. And if it went the way I felt like it should have on the night, we wouldn't be where we are right now. So wrestling's a funny old thing. And the good thing is 52 weeks a year. Like, you're only as good as your last match, your latest storyline. So
yeah.
McIntyre, I found out recently before Seth had pinned me on Raw in our last match because of that idiot Damien Priest cashing in at the wrong time, that I was undefeated on TV for apparently 2 years, but I'd lost every single big match,
like, oh, 12 wow.
title
okay.
matches in a row or something crazy. Yeah. The internet told me, and I was like, wow, is that possibly true? But I was able to, you know, spin it and start like working into the story, which led to the big victory at Elimination Chamber, where finally McIntyre did it on the big stage. He won it. Whatever you feel about how he did it, he kept his head in the chaos and he did it. And it's just all part of this more complex, interesting story, adding more layers to the character, making it more relatable than he's ever been before. As I always said, it's hard to be relatable when you're a 6'5", 270-pound, hairy Scottish man. But I was able to become relatable because of my story of never giving up, getting knocked down, keep pushing forward. And that's how I connected with the fans as a good guy. And now, with all this creative freedom and the fact we have 52 weeks, like, it's so unique. Like, all these, you know, other dramas or HBO shows, etc., they've got like a season with X amount of episodes. We're nonstop. We should be constantly adding layers. We should constantly should have more complex storylines. And now we saw what happened with the Bloodline, how successful it was over these past 3 years, really developing these deep layered characters. And why can't we do it with the rest of us? And I'm excited to be part of it now.
Yeah, amazing. CM Punk, talk to me.
There he is.
You're wearing the t-shirt, CM Punk's WrestleMania main event on the gravestone. Top selling t-shirt. I love it. Incredible work. What do you think of Punk?
I mean, I've been pretty honest about my opinions. Huge name. Garners a lot of attention from not just the hardcore fans, but the casual fan base. Know exactly who he is. He sells tickets. He's a draw. But he's a terrible human being. And I was around him when I grew up, and there's instances I haven't talked about, perhaps I won't talk about till it's face-to-face with him, but he knows. And I have, like, those certain feelings seems like much hasn't changed from talking to people that I know in regards to his personality. And he came back, I felt a certain way. He, instead of wanting to pull me aside, even backstage, never mind on television, and saying, hey, you know, maybe I wasn't a good person back then, or maybe it wasn't a bad place. Like, no, none of that. Just let's act like everything's perfectly fine. Jey Uso style, everything's fine, everything's hunky-dory. It's all right, mate, first chance to get in the ring with you, I'm going to mess you up. And I didn't just mess him up. I took him out and took his spot.
You did.
Karma. It's a bitch.
So, because he's talked a lot about making amends with people. You know, there was pictures of him hugging The Miz backstage. So he's never tried to smooth things over with you backstage?
Nope. Not one time.
Okay. So your promo with Punk, great bit of TV. Was he rattled? Do you think you rattled him? And also, how much of that conversation, you know, was sort of planned beforehand? Or did you just go out there and talk from the heart?
I mean, you've got a structure, of course. I mean, an idea of what's going to be said. But, you know, you've got to go out there. You've got to feel what's happening in the moment. And obviously that's his forte, he's a master of it, but I think at the same time, perhaps he still saw me, as much as I'm twice the size and twice as experienced as I was, still saw me as that kid. And I could see in his eyes, this isn't the same guy that I was once, you know, around, never in a promo segment with. I was never at that level to be in there with him, but now I could see just, not just what I said, how I said, the confidence, when he did the Shawn Michaels thing in the corner, when I was talking, I was like, all right. And I did it right back to him. I could see in his face, like, all right, this guy can play chess.
Yeah.
And I certainly rattled him in that first one. You know, he came back strong on the second one before I dropped his arse and stomped his arm. But that first one, I could see in his eyes, like, this ain't the same kid I've been in the ring with. And I know he was a bad guy in the ring back then, but look at him now. Not only can he out-talk me, but he's going to beat the crap out of me. And I tore his tricep right off his arm.
You did. You did. When you defeat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, who do you want your first title defense to be against at Backlash in France? Who's that first sort of dream opponent?
It was in France. I remember this was France was somewhere I suggested. I remember during an interview on Raw, it was virtually, And I talked about wanting to do more international shows, how successful they were. And obviously, clearly now, that's part of our business model.
Huge, yeah.
So many a year. And I'd mentioned like the Stade de France as an example, just for the French fans. So it's awesome. You know, we got backlash in France. The fans are insane. But Roman and I wrestled there in Paris. Just right after we got back, I guess, with fans, one of the first tours. And I believe it was about 20,000 people there. It was sold out. And just we didn't touch each other for about 6 legit minutes.
Wow.
They were just so insane. That was the main event. They'd seen a whole show.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think they'd spent their energy, but we didn't have to do a thing and shouldn't do a thing because you want to let the fans have their moment, enjoy their moment. With one, it's less falls for us. But two, we want to also take it in. Like, my goodness, like, this is incredible. These people deserve a huge show. And it's awesome they're getting that huge show. When it comes to who I defend against, it's just whoever deserves it. Somebody from Raw. So that could be somebody who swims their way over from SmackDown because they can bugger off and stay in their own island. Whoever's on Raw deserves the shot. They're going to get it. As told Seth already, you've taken it as far as you could. Maybe nobody could have got this title to the level you did with the hard work. He raised it, you know, from nothing, his baby. You know, it's ready to go to college now. He's gave it all the tools, can't to succeed, but he can't take it any further. His body won't allow him to take it any further. So it's time for somebody who is physically able to, but also someone that's got the experience, 20 years of experience, not just in this company, of reaching the top level and growing business outside this company, and someone that's represented the company unprecedented times that no one else has ever done before. And that person's Drew McIntyre, to get the world title, hopefully as relevant finally as the SmackDown title, which he's not helping things, shining such a big spotlight on that feud over there when he should be focused on our world title over here.
Well, Drew, congratulations on all the success. I'm so excited for you to go to Philly and take on Seth. It's going to be an incredible match. Thinking about your story, though, like, finish your story is a, you know, it's the theme of WWE at the moment. It's the slogan for the new video game, WWE 2K24. What does the phrase mean to you? If you could write your final chapter in WWE, how does that go?
It's the thing about WWE is your story is constantly changing. It literally is the never-ending story, because once you finish one chapter, you know, like WrestleMania finishes, you're like, whoo, close the chapter in that story. Then the next day you've got Raw, and you're like, right, open that book back up, and you're onto the next story. Like, what's my next story? But this is a big one for me personally. Obviously, my whole life's work led to winning the world title at WrestleMania, but nobody was there, and it was, I've mentioned before, for everybody else. And had to be. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, I did it, I did this. It was like, okay, we did this. This is for everybody. I'm champion right now, but this is about keeping people's minds off what's going on right now. People are scared. We legit are putting smiles on faces, not just the company slogan. I learned during that time, it's a real thing. And the first title win, the second title win, and the Thunderdome were for everybody else. And making sure we keep those spirits up. It's nice to have in my resume as well. But this time at WrestleMania, it's going to be for me. I want Seth 100%. I want him focused. I don't want any excuses. But at the same time, he's a grown-ass man. If he's going to do what he's going to do, I'm going to destroy him either way. And I'm going to get my moment. It'll be for me. It'll be for my family. And it's going to be for CM Punk.
And then you and Punk at SummerSlam, maybe?
Yeah, I just hope he's careful. Just I'm worried he's going to injure something else during rehab. Man's made of glass. I won that match. I really won that match. I'm just concerned for him, especially wrestling someone like me. I'm a freaking monster in there.
You are. Are you desperate for that match? That's a big one for you, right?
I won that match, yeah. And I got my hands on him. You saw what I did to him at Rumble. So I tore him to pieces. I chopped him to bits. Everyone's like, no, Gunther's known for his chops because they're violent as hell. I think mine go under the radar a little bit. Put our chops side by side. Mm. I assure you, mine are even more violent. The Punk was black and blue. I end up hurting him in there. I sacrificed myself for Cody. He almost never finished his story, even though he talked about it forever. And the video game, as you mentioned, was called Finish Your Story. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Maybe you know what? Hey, The Rock, you can have this match.
Yeah.
Actually, I just realized what a silly person I am. I'm going to actually finish my story like I should have the entire time. Just think Drew beat me up in a social media movement to realize, so I'm a liar now, and wondering why he's so upset and saying all the stuff he's saying, which is highly entertaining.
Mm.
But if he takes attention off my match as well, then also, you know, he's not in my good graces right now. There's a lot of enemies for Drew McIntyre.
DM Hunk. You are on the run of a lifetime. Congratulations. I'm very excited for what the future holds.
Thank you, buddy.
Good to see you. Thank you.
See you too. Gorilla position. I'm a champion.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.